يقول الشيخ الإمام الشيخ الإسلام رحمه الله تعالى في كتابه العقيدة الواسطية: ومن أصول أهل السنة والجماعة سلامة قلوبهم وألسنتهم لأصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كما وصفهم الله به في قوله تعالى: والذين جاءوا من بعدهم يقولون ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. وطاعة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في قوله: لا تسبوا أصحابي هو الذي نفسي بيده لو أن أحدكم أنفق مثل أحد ذهبا ما بلغ مد أحدهم ولا نصيبا، ويقبلون ما جاء به الكتاب والسنة والإجماع من فضائلهم ومراتبهم، ويفضلون من أنفق من قبل الفتح وهو صلح الحديبية وقاتل على من أنفق من بعد وقاتل، ويقدمون المهاجرين على الأنصار، ويؤمنون بأن الله قال لأهل بدر وكانوا 318 اعملوا ما شئتم فقد كتبت لكم، وبأنه لا يدخل النار أحد بايع تحت الشجرة كما أخبر به النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، بل لقد رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه وكانوا أكثر من 1400، ويشهدون بالجنة لمن شهد له رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كالعشرة والثابت بن قيس بن شماس وغيره من الصحابة، ويقرون بما تواتر به النقل عن أمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنه وغيره من أن خير هذه الأمة بعد نبيها أبو بكر ثم عمر، ويفلحون بعثمان ويربعون بعلي رضي الله عنه كما دلت عليه الآثار، وكما أجمع الصحابة على تقديم عثمان في البيعة، مع أن بعض أهل السنة كانوا قد اختلفوا في عثمان وعلي رضي الله عنهما بعد اتفاقهم على تقديم أبي بكر وعمر أيهما أفضل، فقدم قوم عثمان وسكتوا أو ربعوا بعلي، وقدم قوم علي وقوم توقفوا، لكن استقر أمر السنة على تقديم عثمان ثم علي، وإن كانت هذه المسألة مسألة عثمان وعلي ليست من الفصول التي يضلل المخالف فيها عند جمهور أهل السنة، لكن التي يضلل فيها مسألة الخلافة، وذلك أنهم يؤمنون بأن الخليفة بعد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أبو بكر وعمر ثم عثمان ثم علي رضي الله عنهم، ومن طعن في خلافة أحد من هؤلاء الأئمة فهو أضل من حمار أحده، ويحبون آل بيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ويتولونهم ويحفظون فيهم وصية رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حيث قال: يوم غدير خم أذكركم الله في أهل بيتي. وقال أيضا عباس عمه وقد اشتكى إليه أن بعض قريش يجفو بني هاشم، فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم: والذي نفسي بيده لا يؤمنون حتى يحبوكم لله ولقرابته. وقال: إن الله اصطفى بني إسماعيل واصطفى من بني إسماعيل كنانة، واصطفى من كنانة قريش، واصطفى من قريش بني هاشم، واصطفاني من بني هاشم. ويتولون أزواج رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أمهات المؤمنين، ويؤمنون بأنهن أزواجه في الآخرة، خصوصا خديجة رضي الله عنها أم أكثر أولاده، وأول من آمن به صلى الله عليه وسلم عاضده على أمره وكان لها منه المنزلة العالية، والصديقة بنت الصديق رضي الله عنها التي قال فيها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فضل عائشة على النساء كفضل الثريد على سائر الطعام.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير، ونشهد أن محمدا عبد الله وخليله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله ورضي الله عن صحابته أجمعين الذين آمنوا به وآزروه وهاجروا معه وإليه وجاهدوا معه وبعده. فاللهم حقق فينا ما قلته، والذين جاءوا من بعدهم يقولون ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان، اللهم اجعلنا منهم. في هذا الدرس الليلة يتعلق بأصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، وأصحاب النبي لا يحبهم إلا مؤمن ولا يبغضهم إلا منافق. والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم شهد لهم بأنهم أفضل الناس بعد الأنبياء، كما في الحديث الصحيح يقول عليه السلام خير الناس الذين بعد الأنبياء الذين بعثت فيهم، وهؤلاء هم الصحابة. قال ثم الذين يلونهم وهم التابعون من أهل الإيمان، ثم الذين يلونهم ثانية أتباع التابعين. وقد ثبت هذا من حديث عبد الله بن مسعود وحديث عمران بن حسين رضي الله عنهم أجمعين في الصحيح. فالنبي شهد لأصحابه أنهم خير الناس، فلا يبغض خير الناس من فيها خير، ولا يتنقصهم من يخاف الله. فمن أصول أهل السنة والجماعة هم الفرقة الصادقة في متابعة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، من أصولهم سلامة قلوبهم، يعني لا يحقدون على الصحابة ولا يبغضونهم، ويعلمون أن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام أثنى عليهم وذكرهم الله جل وعلا في كتابه الكريم. وذكر الشيخ الإسلام الآية والذين جاءوا من بعدهم يقولون ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. المؤمن حقا هو الذي ما يكون في قلبه غل لأهل الإيمان، وأهل الإيمان بعد بعثة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يوجد أهل الإيمان إلا في المسلمين، لأنه كل من لم يؤمن بمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ومات على ذلك يموت إلى النار، من يهود أو نصارى أو مشركين. ويشير إلى أن من أصول أهل السنة طاعة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، وقد قال الله وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا. طاعته صلى الله عليه وسلم، يقول النبي لا تسبوا أصحابي، كأنه علم أنه سوف يأتي قوم يسبون الصحابة. نعم جاء قوم يكفرون الصحابة ويقولون ارتد الصحابة كلهم، ما بقي إلا علي وأبناءه وعمار بن ياسر سلمان الفارسي وعدد قلة معهم جدا، والبقية يكفرونهم ويشتطون في تكفير أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان. هؤلاء لم يعملوا بقول الله في ثنائه على الذين جاءوا بعد الصحابة، ولم يمتثلوا أمر رسول الله، والنبي يقول لا تسبوا أصحابي، ثم يقسم يقول فوالذي نفسي بيده لو أن أحدكم أنفق مثل أحد ذهب ذهبا ما بلغ مد أحدهم ولا نصيفة، يعني ما بلغ مد طعام، يعني لا ينفق كجبل أحد ذهب في وجوه البر، ما يساوي ما يبذله الصحابة الواحد من الصحابة بمد طعام أو نصف المد. يقول الشيخ الإسلام ويقبلون ما جاء به الكتاب والسنة، يعني أهل السنة حقا يقبلون ما جاء في الكتاب، ما جاء به الكتاب والسنة وإجماع أهل الحق من فضائل الصحابة ومراتبهم. فالذين أسلموا مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهاجروا معه أفضل من غيرهم، والذين شهدوا بدرا لهم وضعهم، لما قال أحد من الصحابة عن شخص ألا تراه نافق، قال النبي ألا تعلم أنه شهد بدرا وقد قال الله يا أهل بدر اعملوا ما شئتم فقد غفرت لكم. وهؤلاء الذين يكفرون الصحابة بل يكفرون أفاضلهم الذين بايعوا النبي تحت الشجرة يوم الحديبية، الذين قال الله لقد رضي الله عن الذين يبايعونك تحت الشجرة. فمن أصول أهل السنة أنهم يفضلون الصحابة الأولين الذين بذلوا أموال وجاهدوا مع النبي قبل فتح مكة، وفتح مكة الذي يشار إليه هو صلح الحديبية، لأن في السابق قريش ما ترى للنبي وأصحابه قدرا ولا ميزة ويحتقرونهم، لكن لما أتى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم والصحابة الذين معه وهم أكثر من 1400 شخص وهموا على أن يدخلوا مكة رغما عن قريش، وعملت المحاولات، والله أشار إلى أنه لم يسلطهم على أهل مكة لأن فيهم ناسا مسلمون ولا علموا عنهم، فقدر الله جل وعلا أن التزمت قريش بأن تأذن للنبي العام القادم أن يأتي ويخلون له ما حول الحرم كله، ويؤمنون بأنه أن الله قال لأهل بدر وكانوا 318 اعملوا ما شئتم فقد غفرت لكم، ويفضلون من أنفق قبل عام الحديبية وقاتل على من أنفق من بعده من بعد وقاتل. ومن مذهب أهل السنة تقديم المهاجرين على الأنصار، والله مدح الأنصار وأثنى عليهم أيضا، ويؤمن أهل السنة أن جميع الذين بايعوا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم تحت الشجرة يدخلون الجنة، يقول من أصول مذهب أهل السنة أنه لا يدخل النار أحد من بايع تحت الشجرة، لقد رضي الله عن الذين يبايعون تحت الشجرة إلى آخره. وأخبر الله جل وعلا أنه قد رضي عنهم ورضوا عنه، من كم عددهم؟ 1400 رجل، ويشهدون بالجنة بمن شهد لهم. النبي شهد أناسا بأعيانهم، العشرة منهم أبو بكر الصديق وعمر الفاروق وعثمان بن نورين وعلي، عشرة أشخاص عدهم النبي كلهم، كل واحد منهم يقول فلان في الجنة وفلان في الجنة. ومن قال الحسن والحسين سيدا شباب أهل الجنة، أحد الصحابة وهو قيس ثابت بن قيس بن شماس كان يتكلم بصوت مرتفع، ولما نزلت الآية التي فيها المنع أن يرفع الناس أصواتهم على صوت رسول الله جلس في بيته يبكي، ولما جاء قيل له ما لك؟ قال لا أنا في النار أنا أرفع صوتي. فراح الصحابي ذا وقال للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هذا الشيء، قال لا بل هو في الجنة، وهو ثابت ابن قيس بن شماس. فكل من أخبر النبي أنه من أهل الجنة نشهد يشهد أهل السنة أنه من أهل الجنة، لأن النبي ما ينطق عن الهوى وخبره حق لا شك فيه. فهذا مذهب أهل الجنة، مذهب أهل السنة والجماعة. ثم يشير الشيخ الإسلام بأن أهل السنة يقرون بما تواتر به النقل عن علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنه من المؤمنين وغيره، من أن خير هذه الأمة على الإطلاق بعد النبي أبو بكر ثم عمر ثم عثمان ثم علي. صار خلافا بسيطا في أول الأمر، بعض الناس يفضل علي وهم الأقل، وبعض يفضل عمر يفضل عثمان، ثم استقر مذهب أهل السنة والجماعة على هذا الترتيب، أفضل الناس من هذه الأمة بعد النبي أبو بكر ثم عمر ثم عثمان ثم علي. علي رضي الله عنه في وقت إمارته في الكوفة وهو يخطب قال أفضل هذه الأمة بعد نبيها أبو بكر، ثم قال ثم عمر، ثم قال ولو شئت لسميت الثالث. فسأله ابن محمد ابن الحنفية وقال له أنت الثالث يا أمير المؤمنين؟ قال لا لست بالثالث، وإنما خشية الفتنة ما قال عثمان، لكنه نفى أن يكون هو، فلن يبقى إلا عثمان رضي الله عنهم أجمعين. ثم ذكر الشيخ الإسلام أن بعض أهل السنة يجعل الرابع عثمان علي الرابع عثمان علي، وبعضهم يقول عثمان، ولكن هؤلاء قلة. ثم زال ذلك واستقر الإجماع من أهل السنة على هذا الترتيب، أبو بكر ثم عمر ثم عثمان ثم علي رضي الله عنهم وأرضاهم. ثم يشير شيخ الإسلام لو فرض أن أحدا قدم عثمان على علي أو قدم عليا على عثمان، هذا ليس بكفر، وإنما فقط يقال أخطأ، لأن هذا ليس من أصول الإيمان، الذي من لم يقل به خرج من الإيمان. لا، يقول أما أبو بكر وعمر فباتفاق الأولين والآخرين. النبي سئل كما في حديث عمرو بن العاص قال له: من أحب الناس إليك يا رسول الله؟ قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: عائشة. قال: لا أعني من الرجال. قال: أبو بكر. قال: ثم من؟ قال: ثم عمر. يقول عمرو بن العاص: ثم سمى النبي رجالا، فلما رأى أنه ما وصله الدور ترك التسمية رضي الله عنهم أجمعين. يقول رحمة الله عليه: استقر أمر أهل السنة والجماعة على تقديم عثمان على علي، يعني عثمان رضي الله عنه، علي رضي الله عنه هو صرح وهو أمير المؤمنين في الكوفة أن أفضل الناس بعد النبي من هذه الأمة أبو بكر ثم عمر. قال: ولو شئت لسميت الثالث. قال: وابنه محمد بن حنبل أنت يعني المؤمنين؟ قال: لا، أنا رجل من المسلمين. يقول رحمة الله عليه: وإن كانت هذه المسألة مسألة عثمان وعلي ليست من الأصول التي يضلل المخالف فيها عند جمهور أهل السنة، لكن قال أخطأ، لكن التي يضلل فيها مسألة الخلافة، وذلك أنهم يؤمنون أن الخليفة بعد رسول الله أبو بكر ثم عمر ثم عثمان، يعني أجمع الصحابة على ولاية عثمان رضي الله عنه وأنه الخليفة بما فيهم علي رضي الله عنه. يقول رحمة الله عليه فيما ينقل: ومن طعن في خلافة أحد من هؤلاء الأربعة فهو أضل من الحمار أهله، يعني الذي ينكر خلافة هؤلاء الأربعة أي واحد منهم فهذا ضال أضل من الحمار. ثم من أصول أهل السنة أنهم يحبون آل البيت، آل بيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، وآل بيت النبي هم أبناء عبد المطلب بني هاشم اللي منهم عبد المطلب، لكن بناء عبد المطلب هو أفضل الذين كانوا في الجاهلية غير المسلمين، ويتولونهم ويحفظون فيهم وصية النبي. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فيما أوصى به قال: أذكركم الله في أهل بيتي، يعني لا تنسونهم، احفظوا حقهم. ولذلك عندما يصلي الواحد على أحد صلى الله على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وعليه وعلى آله. ولذلك تشاهدون في الأحاديث في رواة الحديث عن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله، يعني يدخل معه أن أهل السنة يصلون عليه وعلى آله. يقول أن العباس بن عبد المطلب عم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اشتكى إلى النبي أن بعض قريش يجفون بني هاشم، فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: والذي نفسي بيده لا يؤمن أحد حتى يحبوكم، أي يحب حتى يحبكم الناس طاعة لله ولقرابتي. وقال: إن الله اصطفى، ثم ذكر النبي اصطفاء هذه الأمم، إن الله اصطفى بني إسماعيل، بني إسماعيل يعني من ذرية إبراهيم، معروف أن بني إسرائيل من ذرية إبراهيم ومن ذرية إسحاق. يقول النبي: إن الله اصطفى بني إسماعيل، يعني اختارهم الله جل وعلا، واصطفى من بني إسماعيل كنانة، وكنانة هذه أصل قريش، واصطفى من بني كنانة قريشا، واصطفى من بني قريش بني هاشم، واصطفاني من بني هاشم. فهو يقول صلى الله عليه وسلم: أني خيار من خيار من خيار. يقول عن أهل السنة أنهم يتولون أزواج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أمهات المؤمنين، ويؤمنون بأنهن أزواجه في الآخرة، ويفضلون خديجة رضي الله عنها وأم أكثر أولاده. لم يعش له أولاد صلى الله عليه وسلم إلا من خديجة، ما عدا إبراهيم التي جاءت به الجارية المهداة من ملك مصر. وأول من آمن به خديجة، هي أول الناس آمن برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعضده على نصره لما جاء في قصة تعبده في غار حراء، وجاءه الملك وقال له اقرأ، قال ما أنا بقارئ، يعني لا أعرف القراءة، فضغط ضغط حتى خشي على نفسه، ثم ثانية ثم ثالثة، ثم قال له اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق إلى آخره، فنزل فزعا. وكان قبل ذلك يذهب إلى غار حراء ويجلس الأيام يتزود بطعامه وشرابه، ويجلس الأيام يتحنث لله جل وعلا. فجاء إلى البيت وقال لأهله لزوجته خديجة زملوني زملوني، يعني ألحفوني باللحاف بالغطاء، وقال لها لقد خشيت على نفسي وخشيت. فقالت له رضي الله عنها كلا والله لا يخزيك الله، إنك لتحمل الكل وتصل الرحم وتقري الضيف وتعين على نوائب الحق. ذكرت هذه الأعمال الكريمة واستدلت بها أن من يفعلها لا يخزيها الله. ثم ذهبت به إلى ابن عمها ورقة بن نوفل، والقصة معروفة بس ذكرتها على من أجل خديجة رضي الله عنها. خديجة تقول عائشة ما غرت على امرأة من نساء النبي كما غرت على خديجة، ولا أعرفها ولا رأيتها، لكن لكثرة ما يذكرها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. وقلت اليوم ما تذكر من عجوز من عجائز قريش حمراء الشدقين هلكت في سالف الدهر أبدلك الله بخير منها؟ فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما أبدلني الله خير منها. وخديجة نقل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لها أن الله يسلم عليها، وعائشة سلم عليها جبريل يبلغها السلام. فأول من آمن بالنبي من النساء خديجة، وهي ذهبت به إلى ابن عمها ورقة، وكان الشيخ مسنا كبير وقد قرأ الكتاب، يعني قرأ كتب الأنبياء وقرأ التوراة ترجمنا. فجاءت به للنبي، جاءت به بالنبي إليه وقالت ألا تسمع من ابن أخيك، وقصت له القصة. فلما سمع القصة قال هذا الناموس الذي كان يأتي إلى موسى، ليتني فيها جذع، أنصرك إذا يخرجك قومك. قال أو مخرجيهم؟ قال نعم، ما أتى أحد بمثل ما جئت به إلا أخرجه قومه. ثم ذكر الصديقة بنت الصديق رضي الله عنها، وقد قال عنها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فضل عائشة على النساء كفضل الثريد على سائر الطعام، يعني الطعام طيب عموما وبعضها أطيب من بعض، وأطيب الطعام عند العرب الثريد، والثريد هو خلط لحم وخبز. ويقول الشاعر العربي إذا ما الخبز تأدمه بلحم فذاك أمانة الله الثريد، يعني أفضل الطعام عندهم المأكولات. وقف شيخ الإسلام في ما ذكر من هالميزات وقف على التبرع من طريقة الروافض، وفيها طول والوقت لا يتسع لها، خليها هي الملتقى فيما بعد. هذا مجمل ما يتعلق في ما سمعنا، الاهتمام بأمر الصحابة، وينبغي للواحد إذا جاء ذكر الصحابة أن يترضى عنهم، الله مدح الذين يترضون عنهم في هذه الآية، قال والذين جاءوا من بعدهم يعني من بعد الصحابة يقولون ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا، لا تجعل في قلوبنا حقد وبغضاء، ونشهد لنا شهد به النبي، الذي يشهد أنهم أفضل الناس بعد الأنبياء، إذا نشهد نحن أن الصحابة أفضل الناس بعد الأنبياء. أما هؤلاء كلاب النار الرافضة فإنهم يكفرون جميع الذين شهدوا بدرا وشهدوا بيعة الرضوان، لا يستثنون إلا عددا قليلا ممن ذكرت، والبقية يرون كفر. فكيف يكون هذا الدين؟ ولذلك المستشرقون من الغرب إذا قرأوا أخبار الرافضة هذه قالوا كيف هؤلاء يدعون أنهم مسلمون، يعني من الرافضة، ولا وصلهم الإسلام إلا بهؤلاء الذين كفروهم. فنحمد الله جل وعلا على أننا من أهل السنة، ونسأل الله أن يثبتنا عليها جميعا، وأن يجعل ذرياتنا متواصين بها ذرية بعد ذرية على الحق والهدى، كما نسأل أن يعز الإسلام والمسلمين.
By praising Allah as a God, seeking His assistance, seeking His forgiveness, seeking refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves, bearing witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, He is alone, and He has no partners. To Him belongs the praise, and He has given to you all things. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the slave and messenger, and the one who fulfills the trust and the message. We will discuss that which is related to the names of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the fact that no one believes or no one can be a true believer if he hates the names of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, this is the way of the hypocrites, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed that they are the best of the people after the prophets and the messengers. So the best of the people after the prophets and the messengers and the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as the Prophet said in the narration, the best of the people are those who I have sent amongst, and they are the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said from the foundations of the people of the Sunnah and Jama'ah is that their chests are clean and free, and likewise their tongues, regards to speaking ill of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Allah mentioned them in a statement in Surah Al-Hashr, those who come after them, they say, oh Allah, forgive us and our brothers who have preceded us in faith, and do not place in our hearts any dislike for them. Verily, we are the most forgiving and the most merciful. So the Shaykh Habib Allah ta'ala mentioned, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the best of the people are those who I will send amongst them. They are the Sahaba. And then the Prophet said, and then those who come after them, and they are the Tabi'un, the generation after the Sahaba. And then the Prophet said, and those who come after them, they are the Atba'i Tabi'in, the generation after تتابعون. So you have the companions, the generation that came after them, and the generation that came after them. And this has been authentically reported in the hadith of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, as well as the hadith of Imran bin Hussein, which is in Sahih Bukhari. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned and he has declared that they are the best of the people. So with that being the case, no one would hate them except if he is one of them. Likewise, no one would speak ill of them except that he is a hypocrite. So this is from the foundation of the people of the Sunnah. They don't have dislike, they don't have anger for the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has praised his companions, and likewise Allah has revealed in his glorious book, he has praised the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the verse that we just mentioned. And then the Shaykh mentioned Hadith Allah ta'ala, it's incumbent upon us to accept that which was brought to us by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Allah has said in the Quran, وَمَا أَتَعْمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ, that which the messenger gives you, then you take it. So with regards to us taking and adhering and submitting to what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he said, do not speak ill of my companions. I swear by the one who my soul is in his hands, if one of you were to spend the amounts similar to the size of the mountain of Uhud in gold, it would not compare to a hand that which they gave in charity and in companions, that which a handful of charity, nor half of a handful of charity. So, if one of the people that came after the companions, one of us, if we were to spend the size of the mountain of Uhud in charity, it could not compare to the handful of charity or the half of a handful of charity that was given by the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the Shaykh mentioned Hadith Allah ta'ala in this statement where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not speak ill of my companions. The Shaykh mentioned the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew that there would be individuals that come after him that would speak ill of his companions. And indeed, what the Prophet ﷺ mentioned has taken place. The Shaykh mentioned Hadith Allah ta'ala, you have those that hold most of the companions to be disbelievers, except for Ali radiallahu ta'ala and the children of Ali, and Imran bin Yasir and Salman al-Farisi. The Shia or the Wafid, they hold that the rest of the companions of the Prophet are all disbelievers, all of them apostated from Islam. They only consider Ali and the children of Ali, Imran bin Yasir, and Salman al-Farisi, they consider them to be believers, but the rest of the companions, they held them to be disbelievers. And they specifically focus on Abu Bakr, Umar, and Uthman. They specifically focus on Abu Bakr, Umar, and Uthman. And those individuals, by claiming the majority of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ to be disbelievers, they have not acted upon the statement of Allah in Surah Al-Hashr, where Allah says, and those who come after them, they say, oh Allah, forgive us and our brothers who have preceded us in Iman. By them holding the majority of the companions of the Prophet to be disbelievers, they have not acted upon the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And likewise, they have not acted upon the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said, do not speak ill of my companions. So, and this is something which is tremendous, and their deviation in that regard, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clearly said, whoever, if one of you were to spend the size of the mountain of Uhud in gold, in charity, it would not compare to that which they spent a handful of charity. So indeed they had, this is a tremendous deviation. And likewise, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, that we accept that which has come in the book and the sunnah and the consensus about the merits of the companions and their different levels. The Shaykh mentioned Hadith Allah ta'ala, so this is from the foundation of the people of the sunnah, is that we accept that which has come by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we place the muhajirun, those who believed in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at first, and they migrate with the prophet, we hope them to be better than the rest. And likewise, the ones who were present during the Battle of Badr, we hold them to be better than the rest. And it took place from the time of the Prophet ﷺ that one person had committed something, had a fault, and another individual from amongst the Ansar spoke about that individual. So the Prophet ﷺ responded to that person, "Don't you know that he was present during the Battle of Badr?" And Allah Azza wa Jalla said about the people of Badr, those who were present, those companions who were present during the battle of Badr, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala said, "Do as you wish. I have forgiven you all of your sins." So this shows the merits of the people of Badr over the rest. And once again, the Shaykh reiterated that these people, the Rawatib, they make takfir of the people of Badr. The companions, and Allah Azza wa Jalla said, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that Allah said in the Hadith to the people of Badr, "Do as you wish, I have forgiven you your sins." But the Rawatib, they made takfir of the people of the companions who were present during the Battle of Badr. And they don't believe in the statement of Allah, لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ. Verily, Allah is pleased with those who have given you the oath under the tree. And there were two oaths. There was the Battle of Badr and there was Bay'at Ridwan. Allah is pleased with them. But those people from amongst the Rawatib, they make takfir of them, and they feel that these companions are out of the fold of Islam. So the people of the Sunnah, we hold those who enter into Islam, like we said, the Muhajirun from Mecca, like we said, the people of Badr. Likewise, those who entered into Islam before the conquering of Mecca, they are better than those who entered into Islam after the conquering of Mecca. And the Shaykh mentioned this was Sulh Hudaybiyah. Sulh Hudaybiyah took place when the Quraysh would not allow the Muslims, the Prophet ﷺ and his companions, they were visiting Mecca because they wanted to perform Umrah. And the Quraysh, they had no respect for the companions, they had no respect for the Prophet and the companions, so they prevented them. And this was more than 1,400 believers. They wanted to come to Mecca. And they were trying to have negotiations with Quraysh to enter into Mecca. The Shaykh mentioned Habib al-Azhar. At that time, they could have fought the people of Mecca, but Allah Azza wa Jalla decreed that they would not do so because there were still Muslims present in Mecca. And the believers that had came to Mecca with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, their numbers were 1,400. They could have fought the people of Mecca at that time, but Allah decreed that they did not do so because there were still Muslims living in Mecca and they were not aware of these Muslims. So Allah could have decreed that they would come the following year. So the methodology of the madhab of the belief of the people of the Sunnah is that they prefer those who came from Mecca over those who are present in Medina, the Muhajirun, over the Ansar. And the Shaykh mentioned that verily Allah praised the Ansar. The people that were present in Medina, Allah has praised them. But they are not on the level of the people of those who came from Mecca. Then the Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned that the people of the Sunnah, they declare anyone who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned to be from the people of Jannah, the people of the Sunnah, they believe in this. And Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned the Ashura. He mentioned the 10 people that were mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Shaykh hadithullah ta'ala, he mentioned that they were Abu Bakr, and they were Umar, and they were Uthman, and they were Ali, and there were others that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that they will be from the people of Jannah. From amongst them is his grandchildren, Al-Hasan and Hussein, that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that they would be the leaders of the youth in Jannah. They would be the leaders of the youth in Jannah. And likewise, you had the companion Thabit and Qais and Shammas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And the Shaykh mentioned what story took place that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that he was from the people of Jannah. This was when Thabit bin Qais radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he had a very strong, loud voice. And when Allah ta'ala revealed the verses of Surah Al-Hujurat, When Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed the verses in Surah Al-Hujurat informing the believers that they are not allowed to raise their voices in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Thabit bin Qais, when he heard this, he remained in his home and he was very sad. So when he would not come, you know, to be in the company of the believers, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam questioned why is Thabit not present. And one of the companions went to visit him and said, why are you here? And he found him crying. The companion said to Thabit, why are you crying? He said, because I have a very strong, loud voice. And I fear harm for myself, because I fear that my deeds are invalid. I fear that my deeds are invalid because of that which Allah has revealed in Surah Al-Hujurat. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam found this out, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, Afwan, Thabit bin Qais said, I fear that I am from the people of the hellfire, because I have a very loud voice, and Allah has revealed in Surah Al-Hujurat that anyone that raises his voice in the company of the Prophet ﷺ, his deed would be invalid, so I fear that I'm from the people of the hellfire. When the Prophet ﷺ heard this, he said, no, he's from the people of paradise. No, he is from the people of paradise. So we believe in everyone that the Prophet ﷺ has informed that he is from the people of paradise. And indeed, this is the case, because the Prophet ﷺ does not speak of his desires, only speaks of revelation. So if the Prophet ﷺ has informed that these people are from the people of Jannah, we believe in this. Likewise, we believe in that which has come by way of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, with regards to the best of the Ummah. And the Shaykh mentioned Hadith Allah Ta'ala that the people of the Sunnah, they believe that Abu Bakr is the best, and then Umar, then Uthman, and then Ali. And in the beginning of the affair, there were some people who they preferred Ali over Uthman. And this was a very few number of people, but then the belief of Ahlul Sunnah, it continued to be that Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and then Ali, radiallahu ajma'in. And it took place. This was mentioned. That's why Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah mentioned it, rahimahullah ta'ala. He mentioned Ali ibn Abi Talib. The Shaykh said, Habibullah ta'ala, because it took place when Ali was the leader in Kufa, when Ali was the leader of the believers and he visited Kufa, he gave a khutbah. And in that khutbah, Ali ibn Abi Talib said, the best of this ummah is Abu Bakr, then Umar. And if I wanted to, I can say who after Umar. So he didn't say. Then his son, Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyyah, the son of Ali, Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyyah, and he's attributed to his mother, al-Hanafiyyah, but he's the son of Ali. Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyyah, he said to his father, Ali ibn Abi Talib, he said, are you the next one? And after Umar, is it you? And Ali said, no. He said, no. The reason why, the Shaykh mentioned, the reason why Ali didn't say no, or the reason why Ali said no, is because he didn't want to have fitna, he didn't want to have turmoil by saying Uthman, because the people of Kufa, they were against Uthman. So the Shaykh said, Habibullah ta'ala, so if Ali said, no, I'm not the next one, then who would it be? Would it be Uthman radiallahu ta'ala? So the ijma', or the consensus of Ahlul Sunnah, it remained to be the best of the Ummah is Abu Bakr, then Umar, then Uthman, and then Ali. Then Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, that this affair of saying that Ali should be in front of Uthman and the likes of it, this is not something that a person would be considered a deviant, because it is not from the foundation of the Iman. It's not from the foundation of the Iman, but it should be known that which the people of the Sunnah agreed upon after that is that it is Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and then Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. Then the Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah ta'ala, or he went on to mention what Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah mentioned, and that is that if anyone speaks ill, or if anyone denies that any of these four men should have been a ruler, then this individual is more astray than a donkey. This individual is more astray than a donkey. And that is because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is because this is what was mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or this is what was mentioned by the Ahl al-Sunnah. One, this is what was mentioned by the Ahl al-Sunnah in terms of it being Abu Bakr, then Umar, then Uthman, and then Ali. So if anyone says that none of them should be a ruler, then this one is more straight than another. Then with regards to the foundation of the people of the Sunnah, is that they have love for the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they preserve and they protect their rights. And the Prophet and the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are from the lineage of Abdul Muttalib. They are from the lineage of Abdul Muttalib, who was the grandfather of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they are the tribe of Bani Hashim. They are the tribe of Bani Hashim, and they were the best of them even in Jahiliyyah. They were the best of them even in Jahiliyyah. And we preserve the people of the Sunnah. They preserve and they protect the order of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, they present the order of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "I remind you with regards to my family. I remind you of Allah with regards to my family." So the people of the Sunnah, we do not forget the family members of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we preserve their rights. And the Shaykh said, and because of that, what's correct and befitting is that when we send salams upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we said, "May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the Prophet and his family members and his companions." This is what is befitting. And the uncle of the Prophet, Abbas, radiallahu anhu, he said, he complained to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about some of the people of Quraysh being very staunch toward the family members of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, they will not believe until they love you. Yani the family members of the Prophet, they will not believe until they love you for Allah and because of my relationship to you. So we obey the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and we love his family members. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah has preferred the lineage of Ismail, and Ismail is the son of Ibrahim. Allah has preferred the lineage of Ismail, and from the lineage of Ismail, Allah has preferred Kinana, and Kinana are the origin of Quraysh. Then Allah has preferred Quraysh from Kinana, and then Allah has preferred Bani Hashim, the tribe of Hashim, from Quraysh, and Allah has preferred me from Bani Hashim. So the Shaykh mentioned it is as if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I'm the best from the best from the best," and he is the best lineage sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, with regards to the belief of Ahlul Sunnah, with regards to the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the best of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is Khadija. And the Shaykh mentioned, Habib Allah Ta'ala, that none of the children of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he had from other women lived except from Khadija radiallahu ta'ala. She is the mother of the children of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, except for Ibrahim. What is meant by that is any of the wives or the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if they were pregnant, all of the children died before birth except Khadija. She had children, all of the children of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that lived after they were born were from Khadija except one, and that was his son Ibrahim, and she was, Ibrahim was from Maria. Ibrahim died shortly after his birth, but Ibrahim was from Maria, and she was a slave girl that was given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the ruler of Egypt. Khadija radiallahu ta'ala, she was the first to believe in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to go to the mountain or to the cave of Hira, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to stay there for several days with his food and with his drink, and he used to worship Allah. And then we know the angel came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and ordered him to read. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I cannot read." And this took place several times. And then the angel Gabriel grabbed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and squeezed him and said, "Read in the name of your Lord," which is the beginning of Surah Al-Alaq. So, when this took place, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam returned to the house of Khadija, and he said to her, "I fear for myself, I fear for my life." And Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said, "Verily Allah would not lead you astray, or Allah would not bring harm to you. Verily Allah would not bring harm to you. Verily you assist the poor individual, and you're very kind to the guest, and you keep your family ties, but verily Allah would not harm you. Then Khadija, so Khadija radiallahu anha, she's using these actions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to inform that Allah would not harm this type of individual. When that took place, Khadija took the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to her uncle, Warqa bin Nawfal, who was an individual from amongst the Arab, but he was very learned, meaning he used to read the books of the prophets. He used to read the Torah, and he was very knowledgeable about the scriptures. So Khadija radiallahu anha, she took the Prophet to Warqa bin Nawfal, and the Prophet, she said to Warqa, listen to what your nephew has to say. Listen to what your nephew has to say. Then the Prophet informed Warqa bin Nawfal of what took place. And Warqa bin Nawfal said, verily that is the angel that used to descend upon Musa. Verily that is the angel that used to descend upon Musa. I wish I could be with you when your people kick you out of this land. The Prophet said, will they kick me out of the land? Warqa bin Nawfal said, yes. No one has come with that which you have come with, except that the people kick him out. So Khadija radiallahu anha, she was the first to believe in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and likewise she was the first to support the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, I have never been jealous of a woman like I have been jealous of Khadija. And the Shaykh mentioned Habibullah ta'ala, Aisha had never seen Khadija, and Aisha was younger than Khadija, but even with that she was jealous of Khadija. And Aisha said, I was like this because of how much the Prophet used to always constantly mention Khadija. Likewise, it took place that Aisha said, why do you have the need, or why do you mention a woman that was old and that has passed away, and Allah has given you she who is better than her, or Allah has given you someone who is better than her, meaning Aisha herself. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, indeed Allah has not given me better than Khadija. So this, and likewise also from the merits of Khadija, is that Allah sent greetings, Allah sent salams upon Khadija, whereas Aisha, Jibreel sent salams upon Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. So the Shaykh mentioned the story of Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. And then after Khadija, the best of the wives of the Prophet is Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. She is the truthful female, the daughter of the truthful man. And she is a Siddiqah, the truthful female, bint as-Siddiq, the daughter of the truthful man, yani the daughter of Abu Bakr. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned the merits of Aisha, and he said, verily Aisha is to me like soup, which is meat, which is mixed with bread, sareed. And the Shaykh mentioned that this is from the best of the food from amongst the Arab. This type of soup. Aisha is to me like soup is to the Arab, meaning it is from the best of the food. And then he mentioned lines of poetry that one of the poets, he praised how the Arab, they used to love soup, which is the meat mixed with the bread. So Aisha has many merits. Then the Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala mentioned, this is a summarized explanation of that which has been mentioned in tonight's lesson. And this is that which is pertaining to the rights of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that they are the best of the ummah, and they are the best of the people after the prophets and the messengers, and the fact that Allah has praised the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the fact that Allah said, and those who come after them say, oh Allah, forgive us and our brothers who have preceded us in faith and faith, and do not create within our hearts any dislike for them. Verily, they are the most forgiving, the most merciful, so the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are the best after them. And then the Shaykh said, the dogs of the hellfire, who are the rawafid, they are the individuals that they hold the companions of the Prophet to be disbelievers. And indeed, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are upon them. Even the people that were present during the Battle of Badr, and even the people that gave oath to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they considered them to be disbelievers. So the Shaykh mentioned, Habibullah ta'ala, that the Orientalists, they say, how can these people claim to be Muslim? And the Orientalists say about the companions of one. The Orientalists say about the Rawafid, how can these people claim to be Muslims when they hold the very people that delivered the Islam, and carried the Islam to the Sahaba, they hold the Sahaba to be disbelievers. How can these individuals be true believers? And then the Shaykh Habib Allah Ta'ala concluded the lesson by saying, we ask Allah to make us from among those who love the companions, and we ask Allah Ta'ala to make us from among those who have true love for the companions and love of the companions. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that Allah creates no dislike or hatred for them in our hearts. And then the Shaykh said there's something that's going to continue with regards to the companions, but it is too long, so we would stop on that part of the book. يقول السائل هل نقول بأن أهل السنة هم فرقة من الفرق؟ يقول هل نقول أن أهل السنة هم فرقة من الفرق؟
نعم، النبي ذكر صلوات الله وسلامه عليه أن أمة المنتسبة للإسلام 73 فرقة، تفترق في اليهود على 71، والنصارى على 72، وتفترق هذه الأمة على 3. قال كلها في النار إلا واحدة. من هذه الواحدة؟ من كان يقول من كان على مثل ما أنا عليه وأصحابي. أهل السنة هم المتمسكون بهذا، مع ما يحصل من تقصير من بعضهم، لكنهم يشملهم الوفى بشهادة أن لا إله إلا الله، وشهادة أن محمد رسول الله، والإيمان بأن أصحاب النبي هم أفضل الناس بعد الأنبياء، يعني يتبعون النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فيما قرر. فهذه هي الفرقة الناجية. نعم.
Individuals asking, do you say that Ahlus or do we say that Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they are a group from one of the groups? The Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala, yes. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that his ummah, those who ascribe to Islam, they are different groups. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that the Jews would divide into 71 sects, and that the Christians would divide into 72 sects, and that the Muslims would be divided into 73 sects. All of them are in the hellfire except one. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was asked about that one, he said, "Those who are upon that which I'm upon are my companions." So they are the safe sect and the safe group. And they are the ones that adhere to that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was upon, even though they have deficiencies. But that which informs and gathers all of them is the fact that they bear witness to the oneness of Allah, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the messenger of Allah, and their iman and the companions, the fact that they are the best after the Prophet and the messenger, and their adherence to the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. يقول السائل ما هي حقيقة الإيمان أو حقيقة معنى محمد رسول الله في الشطر الثاني من الشهادة؟ يقول ما معنى أو حقيقة معنى قولنا في شهادة أن محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم؟
معنى شهادة أن محمد رسول الله أنه لا طريق إلى الله ولا تدين بدين الله إلا باتباع محمد. معنى شهادة أن محمد أن جميع الدين الإسلامي إنما جاءنا عن طريق محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. الله يقول وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا. والله ويقول أيضا سبحانه قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني. لا في طريق إلى محبة الله ولا إلى صدق العبادة معه إلا باتباع محمد، وهذا معنى شهادة أن محمد رسول الله. إن هو المبلغ عن الله جل وعلا.
Except by way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's no one can actually implement the religion except by following the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because the religion came by way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because of that, Allah Azza wa Jalla said, and that which the Messenger has given you, then take it, and that which he forbade you, then abstain from it. And likewise, Allah ta'ala said, say, if you love Allah, then follow me. Allah will love you and forgive you your sins. So there's no path to Allah Azza wa Jalla except by way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there's no actual truthfulness in adhering, or there's no actual truthfulness in performing ibadah except that you do it upon the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he is the one that has informed you about Allah Azza wa Jalla. يقول السعد هل يمكن الشخص أن يصل إلى درجة يعني درجة كمال الإيمان؟
يمكن، لكن هذا يحتاج إلى جهد وجهاد حقيقي ومحاسبة للنفس ومحافظة عليها، حراسة عن الزلل. ولذلك لما ذكر النبي الذين يدخلون الجنة بغير حساب ولا عذاب قرى 70,000، هؤلاء كمل إمامهم. من كمال الإيمان أن يعتقد الواحد أن لا ينفعه شيء إلا إذا أراد الله، الذي جعل هؤلاء لا يأخذون دواء ولا يطلبون من أحد الرقية ولا يتشاءمون بشيء ويصدقون في التوكل. الأمر ليس من السهولة بمكان.
Individuals asking, can a person complete? Can a person have complete faith? And the Sheikh said, it's possible, but it will take a lot of courage and you know, fighting oneself and bringing oneself to account and preserving that which is incumbent upon an individual to preserve, to constantly protect oneself from deviation and the likes. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned 70,000 people that enter paradise without reckoning nor punishment. These are people that have completed their faith. Because from complete faith is that an individual believes that nothing can benefit him or harm him except by way of Allah Azza wa Jalla, except that Allah wills it. So these individuals do not take medicine, these individuals do not seek ruqya, these individuals do not believe in omens. So these individuals are honest in their faith in Allah Azza wa Jalla and their dependency upon Allah, and indeed this is not something easy. يقول السائل ما هناك من يقول أن نحن نعيش الآن وفهمنا للإسلام خير من فهم الصحابة، فما قولنا في هذا القول أو هذه العبارة؟
فهم الصحابة لا يدني فهم أحد جاء بعدهم، لأن القرآن نزل بلغتهم، لا يحتاجون أن يسألون أحد مش معنى ما معنى هذه وما معنى هذه، يعرفون الخاص والعام والمطلق والمقيد. ولذلك اختصارهم بوصف النبي لهم أن الإنسان مهما فعل ما يبلغ مساواتهم في شيء ولو أنفق جبلا من الذهب.
asking, what do you say about an individual, or what do you respond to an individual that says our understanding of the religion is better than the understanding of the divine and those who are present today? And Shaykh said, Habibullah Ta'ala, the understanding that the companion's understanding of the religion cannot be compared to anyone's understanding that came after them. The Quran was revealed in their language. They were not in need of asking about its meaning. They understood that which was specific, that which was general, they understood that which was limited and that which was unlimited. And because of that, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned in his description of them, if one of you were to spend in charity the size of the mountain of Uhud, it would not compare to that which they spent in charity a handful or a half of that. ويقول السؤال الذي قال هذا الكلام هل ينفر أو يكون عاصيا بهذا الكلام الذي قال أن فهمنا للدين
يقال هذا رجل جاهل ما يدري ما هو فهم الصحابة ولو يدري ما هو فهم الصحابة يريد أن يقارن فهمه بفهمهم لعرف أنه لا شيء عنده إلا أنه يعترف بأنه مسلم.
Then I asked the Shaykh Habib al-Atala, what's the rule on this person? He said that they're disbelieving or they're a sinner. The Shaykh Habib al-Atala, this person is ignorant. He doesn't understand what is the understanding of the companion. And if he truly understood the understanding of the companion and the knowledge of the companions, he would realize that there's no comparison between his knowledge and their knowledge. And the only thing that he is that he's a Muslim.
الصحابة لا تجد أحد يسأل ما يفهم تفسير أي آية في القرآن. يقول ابن مسعود لا نتجاوز 10 الآيات إلا بعد أن نعرف معناه إلى آخره.
نعم. الشيخ حبيب الله صلى الله عليه وسلم the companions they did not have to ask thereafter about the names of the Quran because the reason why is because they would not pass 10 verses except they understood the meaning and explanation. So this informs you of the extent of their knowledge. يقول السائل هل يجوز للمسلم أن يشتري إمارة قبل بنائها؟ يجوز شراء الإمارة قبل بنائها؟
إمارة قبل أن تبدأ
ترسم يعني يكون هناك رسم وتشتري الإمارة على رسم الرسم
من شروط صحة الشراء والبيع أن يكون المشترى معلوما عند المشتري والبائع وأما ما يكون بالورق فهو في الذاكرة وليس في الواقع.
Individuals asking, is it permissible to buy a building without it being before the building starts? And the Shaykh Habib al-Atala mentioned from the conditions of the transaction being accepted in terms of buying and selling is that that which is being purchased is known, specifically known by the buyer and the seller. But that which is present on paper, for example, a drawing, architectural drawings and the likes, this is not something which is, this is only something in the mind, it's not something which is actually present. عندما عند القيام بترجمة محاضرات وكتب المشايخ ووضعها على شبكة معلومات هل ينبغي أن نجح اسم المترجم؟
ينبغي أن يذكر المترجم ليعرف هل هو ثقة أو لا. لأن الترجمة نقل معاني الكلام من خطبة المتكلم أو درسه إلى من يطلع عليه، فيحتاج إلى أن يكون مترجم عرف بالعلم والثقة.
Individuals asking, while translating the works of the scholars and placing them on websites, is it befitting, is it mandatory to mention the name of the translator? And the Sheikh mentioned, okay, well, it's befitting that you mention the name of the translator so that the people can know if he's reliable or not. Translation is transmitting the speech of the scholar, his lesson, from one language to another, so that other people can read it. So with that being the case, it is befitting, it's mandatory to mention the name of the translator so that the people can know upon it. He said, because the translator should be known for his knowledge, and likewise he should be known for being reliable. So with that being the case, you should mention the name of the translator. قل السائل هل الشيعة كلهم كفار أو بعضهم وما أو بعضهم؟
الشيعة عموما فيهم من هم كفار وفيهم من ليسوا بكفار، يعني الذين يتشيعون يعني يوالون آل البيت أكثر من ولائهم للآخرين، هذا يقال لهم شيعة. لكن على سبيل المثال الشيعة الاثني عشرية، وهؤلاء هم المسماون بالروافض، هؤلاء دينهم مبني على الشرك الأكبر، مبني على رد القرآن، تكذيب القرآن. إن الله لما أنزل في عائشة أولئك مبرؤون مما يقولون، هم يقولون لا ليست مبرأة، النبي يخبر أن أبا بكر في الجنة وعمر في الجنة، وهم يقولون لا هذول كفار. من يقول هذا كلام هذا كافر. هم يستجيزون الشرك الأكبر، يا حسين يا حسين. نعم.
Or some of them aren't. The Shi'ites are the ones. The Shi'a in general, Habib Allah mentioned the Shi'a in general. You have those that are disbelievers and those that are not disbelievers. You have individuals that prefer the family members of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than others, and this is a general description or general belief, and you call these people Shi'a. But the Shia, which is the 12 sects, or the 12, I don't know what the word, Rawatib, these individuals, their religion is built on shirk, major shirk, because they deny the Quran and they oppose and reject it. For example, Allah Ta'ala reveals in the Quran that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she's free of all accusations against her. They say she's not free of those accusations. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said Abu Bakr and Umar are in Jannah. They say no, Abu Bakr and Umar are disbelievers. Likewise, they hold it permissible to perform major shirk. They call on Hussein and Hussein. So these individuals are disbelievers. يقول السائل: هل يجوز للمسلم أن يزور الأماكن أو القرى التي ملكت أقوامها من أجل التذكير؟
النبي نهى أن يأتي المسلم إلى الأرض والبلاد التي أنزل الله عليها العقوبة، لذلك نهى عن دخول البلاد التي نزل عليها سخط الله، لذلك أمر الصحابة في طريقهم إلى تبوك أن يخرجوا من الحجر، وبلاد الحجر هي بلاد ثمود الذين أنزل الله عليهم العذاب لما عصوا نبي الله صالح ونحروا الناقة الآية التي جعلها الله لها تشرب الماء يوما وهم يشربون يوما، فقال النبي: لا تدخلون على الذين كذا إلا وأنتم باكون ومتباكون وبادركم.
Religious asking is if a Muslim or Muslim to visit the villages of the lands which were destroyed because of their disbelief in the prophets for the purpose of being reminded. Sheikh mentioned about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade Muslims from visiting the lands and places that the punishment of Allah descended upon. And this took place, for example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade the Muslims. Or he said, the Prophet said, do not enter a land in which the punishment of Allah descended upon. For example, when the Muslims were migrating, or when the Muslims were traveling on an expedition, and they were passing the area of Tabuk. And this is the area that Allah Azza wa Jalla had destroyed the people of Thamud when they went against and rejected their Prophet Salih. When Allah Ta'ala sent a camel, and Allah ordered that the camel drinks one day and that they drink one day, and they killed the camel. So the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that when they pass by this place, they should rush past it and they should cry while they are in it. قول السائل: ما هي أفضل الكتب لمن يريد القراءة في سيرة الصحابة؟
تراجم الصحابة ألف الحافظ بن حجر مؤلف فتح الباري شرح صحيح البخاري كتابا اسمه الإصابة في معرفة الصحابة، هذا من أحسن الكتب التي تذكر حياة الصحابة.
Individuals asking, what is the best books to read with regards to the stories, the biographies, the lives of the lads of the companions? Sheikh Mahdi Baratala, the lives or the biographies of the companions were mentioned by Imam Hajjaj Ibrahim Baratala. He's the same author of the book Fathul Bari, Explanation of Sahih Bukhari. He has a book called Al-Isaba fi Ma'rifat al-Sahaba. His book called Al-Isaba fi Ma'rifat al-Sahaba. This is one of the best books to read with regards to the lives of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. كل السائل: ما نصيحتكم بنسبة الفيروس الكورونا؟ هل نرجع لبلاد الكفار أو نمكث هنا؟
فيروس المرض، أولا الله أعلم صحة ما قيل عنه، والأمر الآخر إذا فرض أنه وقع وباء في بلد، الذي لم يدخل في البلد لا يدخل إليها، والذي في البلد لا يجوز له أن يخرج منها. يعني في قصة الطاعون مرض يسبب سرعة وفاة من يصيبه. فالنبي أخبر قال إذا دخلت وجد الطاعون في بلد لا تقدموا عليه، وإذا حل في البلد وأنتم فيها لا تخرجوا منه من البلد. ومعنى هذا أن الإنسان ما يقدم عليه خشية أن يقول أنا لو ما قدمت بقيت وسلمت، وأما الذي يخرج إذا سلم قال لأني خرجت ولو ما خرجت مت. ومعلوم أن ما كتبه الله على الخلق لا بد أن يقع، ولهذا الإيمان بالقدر خيره وشره هذا من أركان الإيمان، لا يتم إيمان أحد إلا به، لن يموت أحد قبل أجله مستحيل، ولن يتأخر أحد عن الأجل الذي قدره الله. والله لما خلق القلم قال للقلم اكتب، قال ما اكتب؟ قال اكتب ما هو كائن الى قيام الساعه من امراض ونكبات وبراكين وجور من سلاطين وحروب الى غير، كل هذا مسجل، لا يمكن ان يكون يوجد في الوجود شيء الا وقد علم الله أن هذا سوف يحصل قبل حصولنا.
Individuals asking about the coronavirus, is should the person return to his disbelieving country or should he stay here? The Sheikh mentioned that Allah knows best about the specifics that have been mentioned concerned about this virus. And if it's true that a plague has taken place, then if a person is outside of the country that is afflicted with the plague, they should not enter that country. And if a person is present in the country of the plague, they should not leave. This took place because the Prophet ﷺ had the Sheikh mentioned about a plague that which, as soon as it affects the individual, they die soon after. He mentioned a leave. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned that a believer hears about a plague in a particular land, he should not go to that land. And if he's present in the land during the time of the plague, he should not leave that land. And the Sheikh mentioned that the person shouldn't say, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, if the person shouldn't feel if he's outside of the land, or the person shouldn't feel if he's outside of the land, if I go to that land, I would be affected by this plague. Or likewise, if a person is present in the land, he shouldn't leave and say, oh, if I hadn't left, I would have died. The person should understand that that which Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has written would take place, must take place, the Qadr of Allah, and belief in the divine decree and preordainment. This is from the tenets of our Iman. And no one would die before his prescribed time. This is impossible. And no one would live longer than his prescribed time. When Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala created the pen, He said to it, write everything that would take place until the day of judgment. So everything from amongst illnesses and plagues, and everything from amongst everything with regards to the ill treatment of the rulers and different wars, all of this is written and recorded with Allah Azza wa Jalla. Nothing takes place except Allah is all aware of those things. كل سؤال كيف نتعامل أو كيف نتعامل مع من يقول أن أذان عثمان رضي الله عنه أن أذان عثمان رضي الله عنه بدعة؟
النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول عليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء المهديين من بعدي. وعثمان بإجماع أهل السنة أنه أحد الخلفاء الذين قصدهم النبي بهذا الحديث. ولما سن هذا الأذان ما استنكر عليه الصحابة، لأن أصل الأذان لتنبيه الناس للحضور. لما اتسعت المدينة صاروا محتاجين من يبلغهم بلاغا متقدم حتى يغتسل من يريد الاغتسال ويتهيأ ويقبل من لم أقبل. فالذي يقول عمل عثمان هذا بدعة، هذا يدل على جهله وعدم فهمه.
Sheikh, the individual is asking, what do you say about the individual who says that the Adhan that was implemented by Uthman is an innovation? Sheikh mentioned Habib al-Makhara that the Prophet said, upon you is to adhere to my Sunnah and the Sunnah of my right and guiding to Khulafa. Uthman, by the consensus of the people, the Sunnah is from amongst those Khulafa that were mentioned by the Prophet. And when Uthman made this or implemented this Adhan or brought about this Adhan, he did none of the companions of the Prophet rejected or refused it. Because the origin of the Adhan is that you inform the people of the time of the prayer so that they can prepare themselves to come. And when Medina became larger and expanded, the people were in need of being informed earlier so that they can prepared by taking their showers and the likes. So the individual that informed that Adhan of Uthman is an innovation is informed of the ignorance of this individual and his lack of understanding. يقول السؤال متى يقرأ المأموم سورة الفاتحة؟
النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول لا صلاة لمن لم يقرأ فاتحة الكتاب، ويقول في مرة أخرى لعلكم تقرؤون خلف إمامكم. قالوا إنا لنفعل، أي قالوا نعمل. قال لا تفعلوا إلا بأم الكتاب. إذا كان الإمام يترك سكتة تتسع لقراءة المأموم فليقرأ فيها، إذا كان الإمام ما يترك فراغا ينبغي للمأموم أن يبادر بقراءتها، ولو قرأها قبل الإمام جاز لا حرج. والمسألة فيها خلاف عند أهل العلم، لكن أحاديث الوجوب في الصحيحين والخلاف اجتهاد من أهل العلم وفهم. النبي قال فإذا قرأ الإمام فأنصتوا، لكن بيّن لهم أن الإنصات ليس في جميع بعد أن يقرأ الواحد الفاتحة، فينبغي للواحد أن يحرص على قراءة الفاتحة.
Individuals asking, when does the person who is being led in prayer, when does he recite the Surah Al-Fatiha? And the Sheikh mentioned to me, I thought the Prophet said there was one prayer for the individual that does not recite Surah Al-Fatiha. Likewise, the Prophet said to his companions one time, it's possible that some of you recite the Prophet's companions, and the companions said, yes, we do. And the Prophet said, don't do so except with Surah Al-Fatiha. So if the Imam, the one who is leading the prayer, if he leaves gaps in between his recitation, the one who is behind him should recite Surah Al-Fatiha. If the Imam does not do that, then the person should still recite Surah Al-Fatiha, even if they recite before the Imam, it's permissible for them to do so. Then the Shaykh said, this is an issue of disagreement amongst the scholars, but the proofs that inform of the obligation are inside the Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. And in terms of those who disagree, this is their deduction, this is their understanding from some of the scholars, where Allah has ordained to Abraham, and when Abraham has recited, then be quiet. But this was clarified by the Prophet ﷺ that this is in other, other than reciting Surah Al-Fatiha. So the Shaykh mentioned Hadith Allah Ta'ala, so an individual should be diligent in reciting Surah Al-Fatiha.
ثم الذي ما قرأ الفاتحة ومتابع للإمام لا يقال أن الصلاة لم تصح، لأن النبي يقول في الحديث الآخر: أيما صلاة لم يقرأ فيها بفاتحة الكتاب فهي خداج، يعني أنها ناقضة. فمعنى قوله لا صلاة يعني لا صلاة كاملة. الحديث الثاني في الصحيح: أيما صلاة لم يقرأ فيها بفاتحة الكتاب فهي خداج، والخداج في اللغة العربية النقص. ولهذا مذهب الشافعية يتشددون في قراءتها، لا بد من قراءتها. وهو مذهب البخاري، وأكد عليها رحمة الله عليه. وفي بقية المذاهب فيها خلاف، أحد يقول كذا، لكن الصحيح هو هذا الأمر، أنه ينبغي أن تقرأ، لكن لو لم يقرأها ما يقال بطلت، لكن لا تكون صلاته مثل صلاة الذي قرأ الفاتحة.
That an individual that does not recite Surah Al-Fatiha, who's praying behind the imam, who's being led in salah, it is not said that this individual's salah is not accepted. His salah is accepted, but his salah is deficient. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, whoever or any prayer that does not have Surah Al-Fatiha, it is khudaj. And khudaj in the Arabic language means deficient. So it is not complete. This is in Sahih Bukhari. And Sheikh mentioned Habibullah Ta'ala, this is also the madhhab of Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala, and it was also that which Imam al-Bukhari was firm upon. In terms of the other schools of thought, they disagree, but in general the Sheikh mentioned Habibullah Ta'ala, that is befitting that the individual recites Surah Al-Fatiha, and if they cannot, or if they do not recite Surah Al-Fatiha, their salah is accepted, but it is deficient and is not complete like the individual that does recite Surah Al-Fatiha.
سيكون هذا الدرس في هذه الفترة هو آخر الدروس، وأسأل الله جل وعلا أن يهيئ لنا الالتقاء بعد رمضان. سيكون عندي سفر إن شاء الله، والاختبارات أيضا في المدارس والجامعات قد دنا وقتها، فأسأل الله جل وعلا أن يهيئ لنا اللقاء بعد ذلك والاستمرار وتحصيل العلم. ثم أسأل الله بأسمائه وصفاته أن يجعلنا جميعا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه، وأن يرحمنا برحمته التي وسعت كل شيء، وأن يغفر لنا ولأمواتنا، وأن يصلحنا ويصلح ذرياتنا، وأن ينصر الإسلام والمسلمين، وأن يذل الكفر والكافرين والمنافقين، وأن يعاجل المظلومين المعتدى عليهم بنصرهم واسترداد حقوقهم، وأن ينكب المعتدين من الكفار من يهود ونصارى شيوعيين وغيرهم، ونخص بالدعوة بالدعاء الفلسطينيين المظلومين، نسأل الله أن يهدينا وإياهم ويمنحنا وإياهم التوبة النصوح، وأهل الشام الذي حكومتهم تقتلهم وتفسد بلادهم، تلك الدولة النصيرية. وكما كررت مرارا أن مذهب النصيرية يرون أن عليا هو الله، وأنه الذي خلق محمدا، وأن محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم هو الذي خلق الباب، والباب هو سلمان الفارسي. فهذا أساس عقيدتهم ومبدأهم. هم من الباطنيين، لكنهم أسوأ من الباطنيين عقولا، ولذلك الدروز وهم من هذه النوعيات يستهزئون بهم فيما يعتقدون. وتدميرهم لبلاد الشام يدل على حقد زائد، وهم يطمعون أن يؤسسوا دولة علوية خاصة، لكن نرجو الله جل وعلا أن يخيب رجاءهم وأن يعاجل المظلومين بالانتصار، كما نسأله جل وعلا أن ينصر المسلمين في شرق آسيا على أهل المذهب البوذي الضال، وأن يفرج كرب جميع المسلمين المكروبين، ويشفي مرضى المسلمين في كل مكان، ويغني فقيرهم، ويغفر لميتهم، ويصلح ناشئتهم. إنه سبحانه مجيب الدعاء كما أسأله بأسمائه وصفاته، أن يحفظ بلادنا المملكة ويصونها ويجيرها من الفتن التي عصفت في هذه البلدان الأخرى كمصر وليبيا واليمن. كما نسأل الله جل وعلا أن يعاجل اليمن باتفاقهم على الحق والهدى، والأخذ على أيدي السفهاء ونبذ الرافضة الحوثيين والخضع عليهم، وأن يوفق المصريين لاختيار أصلحهم للولاية وأصدقهم في النصح وأقربهم لتحكيم الشريعة، كما أسأله جل وعلا أن يزيل الفتن عن جميع المسلمين في كل مكان. إنه مجيب الدعاء، وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.
He mentioned that he has traveled and also test in the schools that he universities at the time for testing has approached. So we ask Allah to allow us to meet after this in Ramadan, after Ramadan, and to allow us to continue to gain knowledge and to make us one of those who hear that which has benefits and they follow it. We ask Allah to have mercy upon us, and we ask Allah to have mercy upon our children and to correct our children and our lineage. And we ask Allah to give support to Islam and victory to Islam and to debase these leaders. We ask Allah to give quick victory for those who have been oppressed and to debase and destroy the kuffar from the Holy Spirit of Sodom. And as Allah has unchained them, that Allah has specifically supplicated for the people of Palestine, that Allah gives them ease after their pressure by the people of Syria, those who are being killed by their government and who say, Ian, the Sheikh mentioned, and I reiterate that this month and who say, Ian, they are the ones that believe that Ali is Allah. And they believe that Ali created Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they believe that Muhammad created Salman the Pharisee. These are foundations of their belief, even, and they are from a month of Baqiniyya, but they have evil intellects. And even the Druze, which is a different sect, they make fun of them because of their belief. And indeed, their destruction of Syria, it shows their hate. They increased a tremendous hate. And they want to have their own, land and life of them. So may Allah Ta'ala, destroy their intentions. And may Allah Ta'ala give the people of Syria peace. May Allah Ta'ala support the Muslims and likewise the Muslims in Asia and West Asia. May Allah Ta'ala support them and give them ease and allow them to overcome the oppression of the Buddhists that are present there. May Allah Ta'ala give ease for every Muslim. May Allah Ta'ala give support and wealth to every poor Muslim. May Allah feed those who are hungry. May Allah close those who are naked. And may Allah protect this country, Saudiya, protect from all trials and tribulations which have affected the other Muslim countries around it, such as Egypt, such as Libya, such as Yemen. May Allah allow the Muslims of the government of Yemen to overcome the calamity of the Rafida, the Houthiyun. And may Allah allow them to remove them. May Allah allow the people of Egypt to choose an individual who is good for them in terms of rulership and good for sincere for the people. And may Allah remove the evil from all places. And this is our last supplication. May our last supplication all peace be to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his family, and his companions.